text to the symbolic meaning of this fantastic story told. And I have a lot of stories in Farsi to narrate to help with the reading. Here in your class I have more handicap. First of all, I cannot read English properly. You would do it, because at the end you have to read it. So you will be volunteered by me to read the section of the day. Don't worry about misreading it, because it's mistranslated anyhow. Really, your task of reading the text is much, much easier than the task Nicholson had to translate it. And he tried to be honest, I believe, with a lot of success, except of some little details that maybe I explained last time. Some religious influence at the time. We should always remember he was living in Victorian time, with Victorian attitude, and his connection with Iranian at the time was only with the quote-unquote famous expert in this text, which by some bizarre way are the mullahs, just because they're really interested in this. Who is not? But for them, reading the first page is easy. For the rest of the Iranians, is not. Because the first page is in Arabic. And if you want to put this fellow in trouble, ask him to translate it to you. Not now. If you ask him now, he will do something like Nicholson did. Give him a little bit time, maybe next year, ask him to talk about this openly. And you will see that for each word, he will try to bring a dictionary in the discussion and give you the several different meaning these verses could have. Although, the first page, the opening page, which the introduction of Masnavi by Rumi, is not poetic, but it's more bizarre than poetic. When they say the Ruth, you understand what the Ruth means. It refers to the priest Ruth, and it refers to the Ruth of anything. So it's not very difficult to imagine the meaning of the Ruth. And Ruth of the Ruth, that's understandable. What is the meaning of root of the root of the root? That's just the beginning of the book. And he's talking about his book, strangely, in Arabic. He says strangely because he did some bizarre thing to begin with. You know that he was born in now Afghanistan, which was a part of Persia then. And he was almost a teenager, maybe even younger, when they passed now Iran, just he crossed it, and he lived in now Turkey. In that time, these are all one country. But one country, not really one country. It was always a very bizarre mixture, because that's a point of reference politically and strategically and humanly through the history. And these are a group of people, they live together without really living together. Even now, you will find the differences of lifestyle and everything, and especially the language. I told you that at one time, when the king of Iran was going to conquer India, they created a language for the boot camp. The boot camp is Urdu, and that's an official language now. So, Rumi was born in a not Farsi, Parsi speaking, because that P and F differentiate between Arabs and Persian words. And the Arabs, they have some alphabets. Iranian have a couple more. And those more are identifiable by the trick they used to write it down. After they absorbed the Arab language, they created the new symbols by adding some additional line or one dot. In Arab language, you will find one dot or double dot. You will not find triple one. Triple ones are Iranians. It's je and it's che. Both, they have three dots in. And there is se, which is triple dot. That's where they started to copy that. The only alphabet in Arab language which could be pronounced the. It's something like that, which is very confusing for that matter. But anyhow, he was in Parsi speaking, means all Persian speaking region of the country. Then he traveled to the Turkish speaking part, which is the Konya. So he learned Turkish. His life was organized in Turkish language. And his education was in Arabic. Because in that time, in all that region, education is religion. And it starts with trying to read Quran. And it goes on, and Rumi will go to the maybe the college and university degrees in Damascus, in Arabic, we know that. When he decides to write this book, comes back to Persian. And this is very odd, because he's talking to the Turkish language audience. The students are mainly Turkish. And he's living in that language, and his teaching and education and everything was in Arabic, but he goes back to Farsi. And for the first time in his life, he will recite poem. And magically he will become one of the best poets. He masters the poetry, he masters the music, and of course for poetry you should master the musicality. And he will write this book in Persian. Ironically, in the same book he will write down somewhere, he will somehow, like losing it, he will recite Arabic. Then we say, no, say it in Parsi. Although Arabic is more delightful. So he confesses that he prefers Arabic. But he tries to say it in Farsi. Good? Okay. This is a little bit odd. Then the opening of the book is in Arabic. Amazingly. And of course there is in the name of God, the beginning, which is added later, and he doesn't talk about God in this opening, and he goes to open a book without the normal ritual of prayer. He doesn't start the book with the name of God, and that had brought a long, let's say, different opinions crashing each other because of that.